I invite your attention this morning to the book of Galatians for our reading. I'm going to be reading a few passages from Galatians, the fifth chapter, beginning in verse 1. And the subject that we're going to be talking about this morning is the subject of falling from grace. Quite a bit of misunderstanding in the religious world concerning this topic, what it means to fall from grace. For some, is it even possible to fall from God's grace? In the book of Galatians, in the fifth chapter, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says this: "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." Verse 3: "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you were justified by the law, and ye are fallen from grace." We're going to talk about that passage there in Galatians chapter 5, and also going to try to bring to light the context of what was being spoken of there in Galatians 4 and 5 when Paul addressed his Hebrew brethren about this subject. There in Galatians 5, many people have misunderstood this passage of falling from grace. And as I said, there are some that don't believe it's even possible. Well, in the Old and the New Testament, one's relationship with God is clearly identified as being dependent upon certain things. And we're going to talk about those things as we get into the study this morning. But first, we want to go to God in a word of prayer. Technology. Now, not knowing anything about computers, I'm going to leave that up to Damien. But I know cybersecurity is definitely an up-and-coming field, and it has been for a number of years, rightly so. We all are interested in protecting what is ours. We've worked hard for it. We want it to be kept safe. And so security is something that we very much appreciate. And when it comes to the security of our souls, that should be above and beyond any worldly possession or worldly relationship which we may enjoy. Now, we understand that we have been given the opportunity to have a relationship with God through hearing the gospel taught, as the Bible states, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, through believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said, "Except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." Through repentance from our past life and a turning towards God. On the day of Pentecost, when individuals ask the apostles what they could possibly do in order to restore or repair a relationship with God, to make them one with God, they were told, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." We understand, along with hearing the Word of God taught and being a believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repenting of our past sins, that we must confess the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven." And then, of course, we know we must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. As we stated, Peter told the crowd that day on the day of Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." So, through hearing the word and repenting, believing that Christ is the Son of God, confessing His name, and being buried with Him in baptism, we are added to the family of God. And we want that relationship to be solid and to be secure. But it's dependent upon us, on how we conduct our lives going forward from that point. Now, as we read in Galatians chapter 5, here the Apostle Paul is speaking to a group of individuals who had followed that gospel plan of salvation. As it was given then, it still should be given today. And they had been made free from the bondage of sin, but they had also been made free, because of their obedience to the gospel, from the bondage of the covenants of the old law. And Paul says, I want you to understand through your obedience to the gospel of Christ, you have been set free, you have been liberated from those things that held you back and separated you from God. And as we read, he said in Galatians 5 and verse 1, stand fast, therefore, that is, remain firm and committed to and be solid in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, the preceding passages, and I'm not going to read all of them for time's sake, beginning in Galatians chapter 4, verse 21, through the end of the fourth chapter, verse 31, the apostle there is explaining to them the difference between being in bondage under the old covenant and being liberated under the new covenant, that is, the gospel of Christ. And he was explaining to them the difference between the Jews and the Gentiles, and how at one time there was a separation, but now through the gospel of Christ, all were able to be one within the body of Christ. And he talks about the allegory, the example that was set with the Jews and the Gentiles in the long ago, and how at one time an individual did have a relationship with God through that old covenant. Those individuals who were descendants of Abraham or who had proselytized over to Judaism from their various religions, they, through that old covenant, could have a relationship with God, but things had changed. They had been liberated from that. Those who had come from the Gentile and heathen religions through their obedience to the gospel of Christ had been liberated from the burdens of sin. But he warned them here in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, if they sought to go back, if those Jews who at one time had clung so tightly to the old law had desired to go back to that, Paul said, those things are going to be no good to you anymore. And if you don't stand fast in that liberty that you attained and obtained through the blood of Jesus Christ, by your obedience to the gospel plan of salvation, he said, you are going to fall away from God. You are going to have a separation between you and the Almighty. A very sobering passage, but certainly not just one that deals with this subject. You know, a popular thought, and I believe a very misleading doctrine within many religions today, is this idea of once saved, always saved. It's also known as perseverance of the saints. That is, once an individual enters into a relationship with God, that relationship can never be severed regardless of what happens. Regardless of how reprobate one may become, they cannot lose their salvation. But is that what the Bible teaches? Do the Scriptures teach that one cannot fall from grace? Even though here in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, Paul says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Now, to be the devil's advocate, as it were, for just a moment, I can kind of understand the difficulties that some of the Jews may psychologically and emotionally have faced in thinking that for centuries this law had been in effect and they had dutifully followed it from the time that they were little, and now they were being told that it was no longer any good to them. You can kind of understand how it may be difficult to separate yourself from something that had been so much a part of your own personal life, so much a part of your own culture, and now there was a different way. I'm not trying to validate those individuals who wanted to bring elements of the Old Covenant into the New Testament church, but I can kind of understand how it would have been a challenge for some. And it would take a period of time, some coaching, some patience, some guidance, and some teaching for them to realize that it is through obedience to the new covenant that they would be able to have that relationship with God. But Paul says here in no uncertain terms, if you're trying to bring these things from the old covenant and from the laws of Moses and from all going all the way back into Abraham, that you can base your salvation on today, he said it's all for naught, and you are fallen from grace. No doubt it got their attention. Now, there at the church in Galatia, and I'm sure it wasn't just an isolated event, because these passages are taught everywhere, but at the church of Galatia, if it hadn't already happened, there was something developing within that congregation or those congregations there that was of great concern, that was causing some adulteration of the new covenant and of the New Testament teaching. There was a movement afoot there within that area where there were those who were saying the new covenant is great and the blood of Christ is great and we need that gospel teaching, but we also need to hang on to the teachings of the old covenant. Paul said it shouldn't be that way. That if you do that, as we read, you will and you have fallen from grace. You are going to lose those favors and those blessings that are made available in Christ only through the gospel of Christ. And if you find yourself in that situation, fallen from grace, you find yourself lost, spiritually speaking. Now, even though these passages seem to be very straightforward, and to a degree they don't take a whole lot of explanation, there are still some that question whether or not this is actually true. Whether or not a person can fall from grace, that is, in plain language, whether or not they can actually lose their salvation. I'll be the first one to admit I grew up that way. At one time, before I became a Christian, before I obeyed the gospel of Christ, I very much was committed to this idea of once saved, always saved, and that once a person had entered into a relationship with God, they could never be moved away from that. And it's because of my misunderstanding of certain passages in the Bible. And I want to talk about a few of those passages there because I think it's worth looking at what some of the arguments are for perseverance of the saints. I think it helps us to understand the position of those that believe you cannot fall from grace so that we can understand where they're coming from. This was done for me. And it helped me to understand. And honestly, this was one of the main issues that kept me from obeying the gospel for a long period of time. Because I just could not accept the fact that once I entered into a relationship with God, that something could occur that might sever that relationship. But it was because of my willful ignorance, if you will, of teachings not only in the New Testament, but also teachings in the Old Testament as well. I want to read over in John chapter 10. I'm going to begin reading in verse 24. And within these passages is a verse that is often quoted that individuals who believe they can never lose their salvation, they will often refer to these passages. In John chapter 10, beginning in verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, speaking about Christ, how long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe me not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Now, not only did they have Christ telling them point blank who he was and why he was there, he also had the miracles which he worked to support those words. Irrefutable acts that even the hardest minds could not question were beyond anything that man could ever do. The raising of the dead, the healing of the blind, the allowing cripples to see, so on and so forth. Jesus said, you've heard my testimony, you've seen the miracles, and yet you still continue not to believe. Ye are not of my sheep, as we read in verse 26, as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We're going to go back to that verse. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now often when I've had studies, and I've used this passage myself in the past, in a period of time when I didn't fully understand it, but when we have studies with individuals about this idea of falling from grace, they will turn to John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29, and read right there that God says that no man is able to be plucked from his hand. And I agree with that completely, 100%. There are no forces on this earth, there are no people who could ever come between us and God. But we can come between us and God, ourselves, on an individual basis. I want to read a few passages to you that I think will help us understand better what Christ is trying to say here in John chapter 10, verse 24 through 29. Over in John the 6th chapter in verse 37, the Bible says this, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. However, over in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 30, the scriptures teach this. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There seems to be somewhat of a disconnect here. Here in John chapter 6 and verse 37, Jesus says, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. But yet in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 30, we see an unprofitable servant being cast out there on the judgment day. Let me read a few more passages, and then we shall explain. Over in Romans, the 8th chapter, we're going to begin reading in verse 35. There in Romans chapter 8 and verse 35, the Bible says this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And what the apostle is saying here in Romans chapter 8 is this, there is no external or extrinsic factor that can in any way, shape, or form interrupt or disengage our relationship with God. There is no man or woman or natural disaster out there that could possibly come between us and God. And so as we read over there in John chapter 8, verses 20, or John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29, where Jesus said, no man can pluck them out of my hand, we could also include all those things that we just read over in Romans chapter 8. There is nothing and no one out there that can possibly get between us and God. However, we can get between us and God. We can be the one monkey wrench in the whole thing that interrupts that relationship. Over in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1, the Bible says this, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. This idea of being distanced from God is not a contemporary idea. It's not something that is new. It's something that has been in existence since Adam and Eve. individuals when looking at the story of the creation and the account there of Adam and Eve and of their downfall will often point to a lot of things, usually Satan, as being the primary catalyst that caused those individuals to be separated from God. But it wasn't Satan. It wasn't the apple. It was their own actions. God had made it very plain. If you do this one thing that I've commanded you not to do, you shall surely die. If you interfere in this relationship because of your own actions, you are going to separate yourself from me. There's going to be a division between us, and it's going to be caused by sin. So this idea, this concept, this scriptural doctrine of falling away, we understand is not new at all. We can read over in 1 Chronicles in the 28th chapter in the 9th verse where the Bible says this, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imagination of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. David understood this. Solomon, the wisest of all men, certainly understood this. The same message was given to Judah over in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. I won't read that for time's sake. But Judah was told there point blank, as long as you walk within my favor, everything will be fine. You will receive my blessings. You will have my protection. And we will have that close relationship that I enjoy and you enjoy. But be mindful, as was told to Solomon in the long ago, as has been told to my children in through the ages, that if you separate yourself from me, it is because of your actions and not anything that anyone else has done. God's love and mercy is beyond our understanding, but it is also for those that obey. Paul talks about this over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. And he says, paraphrasing there, I have a full understanding that if after all the things that I have gone through, after all the torments, after all the tortures, the stonings, the beatings, after all the works that I have engaged in, the congregations which I have started, those individuals whom I have led to the gospel of Christ, he said, I fully understand and accept the fact that even after all of those good works in which I have engaged, if I elect to step away from the gospel, I am lost. That I cannot rest on my laurels. That I cannot just go off and engage in any lifestyle in which I choose and think because at one time I had a close relationship with Christ that solidifies my position in heaven. Paul used fairly straightforward language. He said, even after all that, if I give up the race and start off on my own desires, I myself will be a castaway. I will be cast out. Paul lamented the fate of individuals such as Demas, a man who at one time was a close traveling companion of Paul's. Paul said, Demas has left me. He's forsaken me because he loved this present world. Some do walk away. Paul saw it. We see it today. We have friends and family who have chosen to forsake and go back to the old ways. There are a lot of factors, I suppose, that could be mentioned. Tragedies that occur in life that sometimes seem to go beyond a person's ability to withstand. Things with which they're confronted as they go through their life that perhaps they may have confusion about. And sometimes people just decide they don't want church in their life anymore, and so they walk away. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, the Bible says this, Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you of an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You notice how in these passages over and over again, the message is very direct to you. To you as an individual, to me as an individual. That it's dependent on our decisions, our thoughts, and our desires. In Hebrews chapter 6, in verses 4 through 6, the Bible says this, "It is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away to renew them again under repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and they put him to an open shame." In Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 26, the Bible says this, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people." And Paul would tell, or the Hebrew writer would say this in verse 31, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." When we read those earlier passages penned by Paul, or these earlier passages penned by the Hebrew, or these later passages penned by the Hebrew writer, who do you think they were talking to? Who do you think these thoughts were addressed to? They were addressed to Christians. They were addressed to individuals who had heard the gospel taught, who had believed it, who had obeyed it, who had submitted themselves to the ordinance of baptism so that they could be added to the body of Christ and have their sins washed away. And these gospel preachers of old, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, "Please understand this. It is dependent upon you to ensure that you do not fall from grace, and to ensure that you do not separate yourselves from the living God." These are individuals who were once enlightened, who had tasted the heavenly gift, who knew the good word of God. But Paul said, you can fall away. And the warning there in that 31st verse, is one that's quite sobering. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. How else does the Bible describe that child of God who has fallen away? 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 21, the Bible describes that individual there as a dog that's returned to his vomit. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 20, that individual who falls away is described as one who is in the state of perishing, and who will ultimately perish. In Revelation 3, verses 16 and 17, they are described as those who are wretched and those who are miserable. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, they are described as those individuals who walk in darkness, who have no fellowship with God, no fellowship with Christ, no fellowship with their brothers and sisters in Christ. You could not be separated any farther from that. Why? Because of the actions of the individual. Is there any remedy to this? Well, I do believe there is, and I want to get to that, but I just want to clarify something very quickly before we move on to this final aspect of our lesson. It is not God's desire, nor is it Christ's desire, that anyone should ever fall away. That there is nothing in this life, as we read, no principality, no power, no man, no woman, no natural disaster that could ever force itself between us and God beyond our control. And the decision is always up to us. but it is a very real possibility. Should one desire the world over God, should one desire that they no longer want that relationship with God, should one elect of their own choosing that they were going to abandon their faith, abandon their teachings, abandon their principles, abandon their values, abandon the doctrines of the gospel of Christ, it is indeed very possible that they can fall from grace. And in that situation, even though one at one time they had tasted of those heavenly gifts, they could be lost. It doesn't get any more real than that. But there is a remedy. According to James, in James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, the Bible describes those individuals who have entered into sin, who are in that precarious and that unsaved situation, even though at one time they had a relationship with God. The Bible here says this in James chapter 5 and verse 19, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall cover a multitude of sins." Through prayer and through repentance, that one who at one time was a soldier of Christ can indeed come back, but they are going to have to change their ways. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." You see, we can help each other. It's always the individual's decision, just as it is the individual's decision to separate themselves from God by their own actions, whether careless or purposeful. They can be assisted back into the fold through the prayer, through the encouragement, through the comfort, through the kindness, through the patience of their brothers and sisters in Christ. But they have to be willing to come back. If we only had back all those individuals who at one time seated themselves on these benches, we couldn't get enough folding chairs in here. We have congregations, sadly enough, all over this country who are dying and dwindling because people are falling away. And I'm not being the judge. I'm not being the one who is condemning them, but the scriptures teach because of their actions, they have fallen from grace. Maybe there's one here this morning who is in that situation. You have fallen from grace. You've abandoned those ways that you were taught and that one time you held tightly to. But you've fallen from grace. Maybe you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ and you know you need to. You've heard the gospel plan of salvation. If you're subject to the gospel call, why don't you come forward while we stand and sing?